Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. This article is about soccer, creating a beautiful game. The beautiful game is a great game for the lower classes. When all you need to play a sport is a ball, that doesn't even have to be a ball, then you can count on the poorest of people playing it everywhere. Not surprisingly, soccer is a big business in some parts of the world. Achieving this status somewhat by default, it was competing against cricket after all, the future of soccer will ultimately be determined more on its merits. Soccer is a game of contradictions. Outside of North America, soccer is top dog. Inside North America, soccer is about on a par with the PBA, i.e. 10-pin bowling. American football is worth $100 billion. The Professional Bowlers Association was purchased in its entirety by three people, former Microsoft executives, in the year 2000. Still, every 4 years, soccer makes the sports section front pages. Millions find themselves watching soccer matches, getting excited, and then fizzle. The beautiful also ran. Soccer perpetually promises, then disappoints. Nationalistic to the point of childishness, the World Cup doesn't help. So why does soccer always fail to catch on in North America? The unchanging game. I wonder if there's a game that has changed less over the years than soccer. Even the equipment is hundreds of years old. Cleats, 400 years old. Soccer ball, 150 years old. The net, Kuju had nets 1,800 years ago. The problems. Problem number one, soccer is boring. Problem number two, soccer is unfair. Problem number three, soccer is poorly presented to fans. Well, at least it has shaving cream. In 2014, soccer is finally showing signs of change. Players faking injuries are required to leave the field, at least until the next whistle. Penalty kicks now have the kick point and the 10-yard gap defined with temporary foam, but still no beauty. When Messi shines, the game will shine. In July 2014, 538.com featured an article on Lionel Messi. In it, Benjamin Morris scientifically compared Messi with his peers, everyone who currently plays in the Premier League. Messi came out on top. So far on top that the writer called him impossible. Yet, at the World Cup, Messi had just one goal prior to this year. Looking out for number 10. Gretzky had Dave Semenko. A hockey goon, Dave's job began when somebody hit Gretzky too hard. As a fan, I'm glad Dave was on the team. Messi has nothing and no one. Opponents can foul Messi all day long. After colliding, jostling, shoving, and kicking him, the judges of soccer will graciously award Mr. Messi that priceless invention of soccer, the free kick. What about other sports? In baseball, when you commit a foul, like running outside the base path, for example, you're out. Talk back to an official and you're out of the game itself. Fouling does not benefit you in any way. In football, when you commit a foul, like jumping offside or holding on to a player when you're not allowed to, your side loses yards and a down. If the other team had the ball, your foul means that they can take the yards or redo the down, their choice. Fouling does not benefit you in any way. In hockey, when you commit a foul, like grabbing the other guy or pushing him into the boards or hitting him with your stick, you get a 2-minute penalty. During that time, your team is playing one player short. Your side has 4 players, while the other side has 5. Fouling does not benefit you in any way. In tennis, you commit a foul, like smashing your racket in frustration, you get a warning. Do it again, you lose a point. Do it a 3rd time and your match is over. Fouling does not benefit you in any way. Then there is the beautiful game. Ouch, that's an expensive free kick. In soccer, if you kick your opponent in the shins, but he still has the ball, then absolutely nothing happens, provided it was an accident. If it is deemed to have been done on purpose, you receive the largest foul of any sport, the red card. This kicks you right out of the game, like other sports, but it also leaves your team 1 man short for the rest of the match, unlike any other sport. Squeezing the referee into a corner. Is there a worse sports job than soccer referee? I don't think so. There have been numerous cases of soccer referees being attacked by fans and even killed. Forward or die. It would not be the end of the world for soccer to disappear. New sports, from ultimate frisbee to snowmobile freestyle, are appearing all the time. Life would go on. Those wanting soccer to be part of Earth's future had better embrace the C word, and the sooner the better. Change is a beautiful thing. Let's start with a clean sheet and rewrite the game of soccer. Number one, stop the clock. Every other sport stops the clock. Benefits would be that fans get a break. Fans get to see a replay of that last great play. Non-play is identified as such. The stoppage time lunacy is done away with entirely. And announcers get a break so that they can regain the energy needed to be interesting. Number two, change the offside rule. Soccer currently awards non-play. Benefit of this change? Number one, more chances for the offense to score. Less emphasis on passive defense. And less emphasis on the referees. Change number three, add more rungs to the foul ladder. The soccer penalty ladder is missing rungs. Benefits? Cheaters would lose. Fans would get to watch more and better soccer, and truly great soccer players would shine. Change number four, stiffen the penalty for diving. Many of soccer's star players should be in Hollywood. Benefits? Fans get to watch more soccer. Cheaters do not gain from cheating. Players staying on the turf are more likely to be truly injured, and so will be cared for accordingly. Change number five, increase the number of possible substitutions. Soccer limits substitutions for no known reason. Benefits? Fans get to watch players playing at their best. Genuinely injured and especially concussed players can be immediately removed from the game without injuries hurting their team's chances of winning. And soccer ability becomes more important than the size of a player's lungs. Change number six, change to sudden death overtime. Determining who wins a game with penalty kicks at the World Cup level tarnishes the game. Benefits? Fans get to see their hero win the game. The game ends with a dynamic soccer play, rather than a static set piece that is perhaps the most one-sided set piece in the history of sports. Let's look at these in detail. Change number one. The soccer clock is shameful. While watching the World Cup this year, I realized that soccer needs to stop the clock. I want to be able to take a break while a game is on. Announcers do too. Players have found a solution, faking an injury. If this was professional wrestling, such stoppages might be a good thing to a 12-year-old. It destroys the watchability of the game, of course, but it turns out the damage and corruption goes much deeper than you might think. Basically, there's no relationship between stoppages in a soccer game and the amount of stoppage time added at the end of a game, and I have a link where you can read more about this. The average game is more than 30 minutes of stoppages, but awards less than 10 minutes of stoppage time. How could soccer mess this up so badly? So, get rid of this problem entirely. Take the clock away from the on-field referees. Clearly, they can't be trusted. A clock stops when the ball is not in play. Period. Change number two. Why are offsides so counterproductive? Why do offsides affect half the field of play? In football, they affect the scrimmage line only, and only before the play begins. In hockey, offsides are confined to a blue line. Cross that line after the puck and you are golden. Yet in soccer, the offside region is up to half the length of the field. A 50-yard wide line. Really? What are they trying to prevent with this exciting play? Why can offsides happen in the middle of a corner kick? In football, offsides cannot occur once the ball is in play. In hockey, offsides cannot occur once play is inside the blue line. A substantial area, there are two of them, each comprising about one-third of the total ice surface. In soccer, an offside can occur immediately after a penalty kick. One player on the offense passes the ball to another player on the offensive team, and you got an offside. I would love to hear the official reason for this. Why can't the soccer offside be like a hockey offside? That would mean there is an offside line about one-third of the field away from the goal. The ball has to cross this line first. Once crossed safely, the line no longer exists unless the ball comes outside the line again. And the soccer goalie's crease would become like a hockey crease, no man's land for offensive players. Or, like in basketball, attackers could only be in the paint for a certain number of seconds at a time, and it would be decreased to a yard or two deep. Outside of that area, offsides would not be possible. Change number three, ditch the foul penalty system. Soccer currently has advantage, which is to say no consequence whatsoever. Free kick, usually a mild, here's your ball back, award. Yellow card, getting serious can carry from one game to the next. And a red card, the worst penalty in sports. It is a pathetic cheaters prosper system, just like in basketball. Why does this situation persist? At least bring it up to rugby's level. In other words, add a penalty timeout system. You foul someone at a low level, you're sent to the penalty box, and your team plays one man short. A real penalty with real drawbacks leads to less thuggery. While you're at it, get rid of the yellow and red cards entirely. For more serious fouls, add a second level of timeout, like hockey does. Level 1 is for a minute or two and ends if a goal is scored. Level 2 is for 5 minutes and does not end if a goal is scored. And then level 3 means the offending player is kicked out of the game, but teams play at full strength. If a level 3 foul warrants it, an additional timeout penalty or penalty kick can be served first. These changes are so obvious, there is little more that needs to be said about them. Change 4. Dive your way to the showers. Soccer players rolling around on the pitch is not why I watch soccer. I doubt it is why any fan watches soccer. So why does it persist? Let's attack the business of diving on several fronts. First, if you fall to the ground, the play is automatically reviewed by off-the-field officials. If they find you faked your fall, you serve a 2-minute penalty timeout. Fake a dive again, or dive flagrantly, and you get a 5-minute major timeout. Third dive sends you to the showers. Second, the clock stops during falls or dives. Third, assess financial fines and even game suspensions at any time, including long after the game is ended, for flagrant diving. Fourth, to be fair, introduce timeouts, like every other sport. 3 timeouts perhaps seems reasonable. The coach decides when they are called. Change number 5. Embrace substitutions. Soccer's 3 substitute limit is one of the most bizarre constraints in any professional sport. How did it ever get started, let alone persist all these years? Sports are all about the fan. Having played many sports when I was exhausted, I know that I don't want to watch exhausted players. Exhaustion leads to mistakes, injuries, and draws. Boring. The modern concern surrounding concussions should be reason enough to remove this limit. It says a lot about soccer, and none of it good, that soccer hasn't upped the 3 substitute limit or removed it entirely. Change number 6. Sudden death reigns supreme. Soccer used to have a golden goal. Scored in overtime, it was the absolute game winner. Can you believe they got rid of this? Bring back the golden goal. Keep the 2 15-minute halves of extra time. Call it overtime, like everyone else does. And stop the clock when the ball is not in play, just like everybody else does. If the game still ends in a tie, resolve it with penalty kicks. Hail to the chief. Soccer is not the king of sports these days, but it could be. Luckily, the sport does have an emperor, Lionel Messi. Dubbed the Flea, Messi has elevated the game to an unparalleled extent, despite its massive flaws. No wonder Benjamin Morris declares that Lionel Messi is impossible. It is not possible to shoot more efficiently from outside the penalty area than many players shoot inside it. It's not possible to lead the world in weak kick goals and long range goals. It's not possible to score on unassisted plays as well as the best players in the world score on assisted ones. It's not possible to lead the world's forwards both in taking on defenders and in dishing the ball to others. And it's certainly not possible to do most of these things by insanely wide margins. But Messi does all of this, and more. Surprisingly, many Argentinians do not think that Messi is even the greatest Argentinian to have ever played the game. Once again, Ben has a great read on the subject. Beauty for all to behold. Over the past few years, there have been numerous stories of soccer hooligans. Doesn't it seem reasonable that if the game were made more fair and interesting, that the fans would be less annoyed? Either that or just beef up the security staff, I suppose. One sport not yet mentioned is, like rugby, another kindred sport to soccer, cricket. Cricket might be a perfectly designed game. The only major changes to the game have been to limit most games to 40 overs, 240 pitches per side, to set a limit on how long a game can be played. While we wait for soccer to get its act together, let's enjoy Messi the Maestro. Here are 3 of the greatest soccer highlight compilations I have ever watched. First one's called Top 50 Lionel Messi Goals. The second one is called Lionel Messi, the King of Dribbling. And the third one is Lionel Messi, the King of Dribbling 2. So this has been Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, talking about soccer and trying to make a beautiful game. Good luck with your life. Take care.